pleased right now to be joined by a man who is a one-man media empire. Not media umpire, media empire. He is pretty good with sports, too, so he might be able to do some umpiring. He's the co-anchor of Fox and Friends, the most popular morning show in cable news, and a strong candidate for most influential morning show in all of television. He's the host of The Brian Kilmeade Show, which you could hear right here on WABC every day from 10 a.m. to noon. And he's a New York Times best-selling author that has looked at all sorts of interesting historical events and characters in ways that you never quite explored them in school. Gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome my fellow early riser, Brian Kilmeade. Brian, good morning. Thanks so much for coming on the radio with me.
What's going on, Frank?
Well, so here's what's going on. Bars and restaurants are now reopened. And I remember from your previous book party how generous you were with the open bar situation. And I'm wondering, now that bars and restaurants are reopened, when can we look forward to a top shelf open bar Brian Kilmeade book party?
Well, I think I would assume maybe the last week in October for the launch in November. I still got to work it out. I wasn't even thinking like that. You're the first one to bring this up, which is an interesting way to approach our interview. I mean, you're worried about the book party in the fall as we haven't even started summer yet.
Well, Brian, I need you to write these books a little faster then, if that's the case. I mean, come on. These parties are too good to be waiting, you know, waiting this amount of time. The new book, by the way, it's about Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln, right? Tell folks about that.
It's the president and freedom fighter. And it's just these two most unlikely people, truly American story, unlike the stories that Joe Biden insists on telling, like he did yesterday, which is an ugly part of our history back in 1920. He acts like it was in 2020. I don't know what the hell he's doing. But you just talk about this guy, Frederick Douglass, born in slavery. There's been so many great biographies. 2 years ago was the book of the year. And Abraham Lincoln, there's very little new you could bring up about Lincoln. The most fascinating people in history died at 57 years old. I got it. So I just thought, what if I did President Freedom Fighter? Where they came from, how they combined, how they pushed each other to be better, what it was like when they met, how intensely they worked with each other, and how different things would have been had he not been assassinated. I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln. So when you have this guy as dirt poor as you could be as a white American in the 1850s, 1840s growing up, he had 1 year of formal schooling, finds a way to learn and read. His mom dies at an extremely young age. His stepmom comes in, ends up not being able to read herself, but seeing Abraham Lincoln's thirst for books. This guy ends up being a business person, then gets into politics, keeps losing races, starts winning, keeps reading, keeps practicing law, helping people out, getting this great reputation, has these series of debates with Stephen Douglas, lines him up to run for president. This new party called the Republican Party nominates him, and a divided Democratic Party falls by the wayside. Lincoln wins without a single Southern vote.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I try to set up the other scenario of Frederick Douglass, born into slavery, never knowing his mom or family, obviously, finding a way to learn to read and write through pushing and pulling and doing the most unlikely things imaginable, tries to escape, gets stopped, and then finally does escape. 7 years later, he's giving speeches, writing a book on his experiences and traveling Europe as one of the most famous Americans and helping lead the charge to get rid of slavery in America. I mean, two unlikely stories, how they coincide. And I think people are going to get a realistic look at our past, but how hard we worked to get better and what was going on in the rest of the world. I mean, we did not pioneer slavery. This was here way before us, and it was going to be here way after us. We're the first ones to fight a war to get rid of it.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in the rest of the world these days. There's been increasing speculation and exploration of whether or not COVID originated not from a bat at a wet market, as we were originally told, but originated in a lab. Now, this was a theory that was so controversial that you were actually prohibited from posting about it on Facebook. Now, this is becoming a theory which is at least discussion of it and asking questions about it is becoming increasingly mainstream. Tell me, Brian, as somebody that works in journalism, both in the printed page, on television, on radio, what do you think it says about the nature of discourse in America that something that was literally banned from being discussed on social media now may be the actual fact of the matter here?
It's stunning. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that, Tom Cotton came on actually a radio show, one of the first shows he did after we did the interview. He came on a radio show and said, listen, that Wuhan lab is right there. We all know they're doing all types of eccentric things there. We also knew that we were funding part of that. Evidently, that's something we do around the world. If we see something promising in other countries, we'll finance it. Anthony Fauci basically has the checkbook for that. His international connections are without peer. So Tom Cotton brings it up and says, wait a second, there's no way this happens in Wuhan and we don't consider the lab. And everyone thought he was crazy. Actually, nobody at our channel thought he was crazy. We didn't even know what a wet market was. We didn't even know why anyone would eat a bat. And now we all of a sudden you need a bat to bite another exotic animal, and that animal must spread it to a human, and a human must give it to another human. But at first they told us that was impossible. It's not going to be you can't go animal to human. Oops, that turns out if the Chinese are correct in their first lie, that happens. So we get the wrong heads up on that. So a couple of things. Josh Rogan of the Washington Post, while everyone was doing Russia, he was doing China. He thought he was doing a book on Trump and China. The pandemic hits, he changes the book. The Washington Post, this guy signed by CNN, he's doing this story and he's saying, why are people not curious about where this started? Why are people not questioning President Xi? What exactly happened? President Xi called up President Trump and said, it's going to go away in the spring. We got it under control. It's not going to be a problem. That's why Trump said what he said. Josh Rogan was the one saying, I cannot believe mainstream media outlets aren't interested. Well, Frank, I'm sure you got to get rest sometime, but we've had him on now five times. And he tells different stories. If you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, he goes on for 3 hours. This thing did not, more than likely, there's like an 80% chance it came from that Wuhan lab. The question is how it happened and why they didn't tell us ahead of time. Now, all of a sudden, the media acts like one Wall Street Journal story that talks about three researchers who got the same illness in November that we now know as COVID-19, why that wasn't reported. Excuse me. That was been out. You're pretending as if you discovered it. That Wall Street Journal story was almost a reprint from an earlier revelation, and you could find it in a book that was published 3 months ago. So this is all of a sudden, well, wait a second, there's a fire in my house. And now everyone's jumping on this story, and they're realizing one of the commentary I saw is, just because Tom Cotton and Donald Trump said it and they are liars, we shouldn't have dismissed it. Excuse me? What are you talking about? And they're liars, we shouldn't have dismissed it? I mean, it's crazy. This is a former president and a sitting senator, and with a combat, he's actually meddled in combat, Ivy League grad, and he's just going to sit there and make things up for what advantage? So I just think it's an embarrassment to the country and to journalism. And I give guys credit like Josh Rogan. That's basically it for someone who's traditionally on the other side for saying this really should be something that unites us. He doesn't understand, and Frank, maybe you do, why this is a Republican or Democratic?
No, I can't understand it for the life of me. It makes no sense to me. And I think, as Jonathan Carl from ABC News said 2 days ago, the only thing I could think that might make it a partisan issue is that Donald Trump said maybe this came from a lab. To me, it makes no sense.
And that's the problem, that China does not want to take doesn't want to own up to it. Number one, if they just told us what it was, maybe 400,000 Americans are alive today. If they just said, here's what's coming, it is asymptomatic spread and it can go from human to human. So that means, Frank, you and I could be walking around with it, as you know, and we could be spreading it through WABC and Fox News and not know it. They told us that was impossible. So in Washington, when this thing comes ashore, they say, oh, yeah, these guys are fine. You know, it's not really spreading. Wait a second, it is spreading, isn't it? It is. Wait, where's this from? Wait, we have the wrong test. They didn't tell us what it was like, so we had the wrong test ready. The CDC was caught with their pants down because we believed China, which is ridiculous. Why should we believe China? And next thing you know, this spreads like wildfire. We get all the misinformation. I don't know if anyone read the New York Times listening to us yesterday, but in it publishes, through the Freedom of Information Act, Anthony Fauci's letters, interactions with various people, and one of which was with a Chinese lab. And the Chinese lab, one of these technicians was given an interview with Science Today, and he says, I'm wondering why the Americans don't have masks on. And he goes, I'm wondering why Anthony Fauci isn't recommending that Americans don't wear masks. And the follow-up email was to Anthony Fauci. There's an article coming out in which I'm critical of you. I hope you don't take it personal. And he writes back, no, I don't take it personal. I totally understand. We're friends. I go, wait a second. Did you just miss the story? The Chinese official was questioning Anthony Fauci why we weren't wearing masks. And he's worried about Anthony Fauci being mad at him. The real story is this freaking guy didn't even listen to his Chinese cohort who said we should be wearing masks. So he was lying. Either Anthony Fauci was lying to us or he is totally clueless. And he should be more angry at China than anybody because he got misinformation. But clearly he didn't. If his Chinese contact is talking to an American science magazine saying Americans should be wearing masks. Is anyone? I hope that that was explainable because many people don't read the New York Times. But this is in an email today. No, we'll discuss it on the show.
So it's pretty alarming that that is the case, and especially when one considers that Dr. Fauci was one of the prime debunkers of the lab leak theory. I mean, what has he been doing for the last 2 years when he's known since at least 2017 that this research goes on in other countries like China, but meanwhile he's been trying to work so hard to make to suppress this theory. But we talk about that all day. Couple other quick issues I want to get your take on before we let you host your 6 hours of broadcasting for the day. General Flynn, his comments on Myanmar, he's being pretty heavily criticized for seeming to suggest that he would like a Myanmar style coup to take place in the United States. He seems to be backing off those comments a little bit. What's your take on what General Flynn said?
From what I could tell, he is backing off the comments. Said he was misinterpreted. He doesn't recommend that. I've read the comments. I like to hear it delivered. I read them. Listen, Donald Trump should stop saying he's going to take over the presidency in August. And he should stop saying he won the election. If he's going to give an interview and said, I really believe that there was irregularity. But then now if he goes to give a series of speeches saying, I'm going to be taking over in August and the 2020 election was stolen, that is just counterproductive. And if Michael Flynn is going to be trying to get speeches on we should overthrow the government kiss up to the crazies, that's not going to help anybody. I mean, in life, Frank, you and I didn't get jobs we thought we deserved, and maybe we didn't. With a lot of things happening in our lives, the house we bid on, we get the best bid, they went with somebody else, and it's not right and it's not fair. There were irregularities with this election, but there wasn't outright fraud in different states. There were different rules passed by Democratic governors to make it easier for them to win states in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania and in Arizona. They have passed some different things that definitely are worth addressing. And guess what Republicans are doing? Addressing each and every one of them. And that's why they're walking out in Texas and there was the all-star game left in Georgia. That's called attacking an issue, not suppressing the vote, attacking an issue. But Donald Trump and Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell have to understand that it doesn't help our country to walk around saying
no,
the election
is stolen.
Because as soon as they win, when Republicans win in 2022, the Democrats are going to say they stole it because they changed the rules. And if Trump comes back or DeSantis comes back to win, they're going to be 50% of the country who aren't going to accept it and say, you never accepted the last one. Just like Hillary Clinton began to screw things up by never admitting she lost and by blaming on Russia, we have to be bigger than that. And I don't think it helps. If it turns out we listen to this together and Flynn is calling for that, I mean, that marginalizes him in my mind.
Brian, what's coming up on television this morning and what's coming up on radio this morning?
Well, we're going to talk about Anthony Fauci. This guy is writing a book. he's writing a book on this whole what he learned.
I hear he has the same publisher as Andrew Cuomo.
I wouldn't doubt it. I did not know. Does he have?
No. I'm being facetious.
But you know what? I would not doubt it, even though they lost a ton. I'm going to talk to Sandra Smith is going to be on. We're going to talk to Congressman Jason Smith about what's happening over with Russia and these hacks. Dan Abrams is going to join me from Mediaite and from ABC. He's got a new book out on JFK, and we're also going to talk about what's going on legally in this country. But I'm going to talk about that and how Russia is actually punching us in the face every day, and we're doing nothing. And Joe Biden's obsession on racially dividing this country again, and what Barack Obama had to say about it, and how off he is, and how dangerous his comments were yesterday. This guy is, I'll be perfectly honest, Barack Obama is talented. Bill Clinton is talented. Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar with personal issues. I get it, but I respected their intellect. What Joe Biden's doing, who's ever loading up his prompter, is killing this country. And it starts with race, and really the denigration of the capitalist system. And now he's trying to bring us down with the drilling and all these other things that he's banning. I've never seen a guy do more damage in 100-plus days. We'll talk about it.
Brian, we're going to have to leave it there. I appreciate you taking the time, as always. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Talkers next Friday out on Long Island.
Absolutely, at Hofstra.
Absolutely. Brian Kilmeade, catch him on Fox and Friends this morning. Listen to him on the Brian Kilmeade Show from 10 a.m. to noon. Appreciate it very, very much. You can call in. We'll do 15 seconds of fame momentarily. 1-800-848-WABC. Be heard on any subject for 15 seconds. That's 1-800-848-9222. And it's been at least 5 minutes since I told you about Life Change Tea, which means we are overdue to tell you about it again. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this audience should just go out and purchase Life Change Tea. How do you do that? You go to the website, getthetea.com. Why do you do it? You do it because you want more energy without caffeine. You do it because you want more digestive health. You do it because you want better and more regular bowel movements. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but that's the case. You do it because you don't want these toxins in your body. Go to the website, getthetea.com, getthetea.com, and use the promo code Frank. If you use the promo code Frank, you get to enjoy some free shipping. I drink this stuff every day. I enjoy it. You'll like it too. Getthetea.com, promo code Frank.